Good morning. This is Brad Lacey, pastor of First Baptist Church at Conshohocken, president of the Philadelphia Bible Society, and for this hour, host of The Great Message on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT. We are joined for the fullness of this hour by a very dear friend. I believe you have grown to love him as much as I have over many, many years' time, Brother Paige Tyler, who is our 12-step guru extraordinaire for the 12-step ministry. Brother Paige, once again, we welcome you back to the show.
As always, it is a blessing to be here, Bradley.
Well, we praise God. And you're in Philly as distinct from North Carolina?
Right.
In which case you are immersed in the current heat wave.
Yes, I am.
And nope. I know what heat does to me. It usually means I have to apologize a number of times over because heat and I don't work well at all. And we're looking at step 8, which means we have to make amends. So would you care to get us started with step 8? What is it?
Well, actually, step 8 is not making amends. It's made a list of all people we had harmed.
Okay.
And became willing to make amends.
Well, there you go. Yes, right.
Yeah, so... you know, people get that mixed up, and if you look at the AA Big Book, you know, step 8 and step 9 are like in the same paragraph. There's no step, so people get them compressed to one another because they really aren't separated until you get to the AA Step Book, where you actually have two different chapters on the two different processes.
That would actually alarm me, brother, because I've learned the hard way with my own dealing with my own issues over time, whatever those issues might be. There are no shortcuts. A compression means a shortcut. There are no shortcuts to health.
Exactly. And so that's the reason why the step book came into existence, to do a better job of explaining step 6, 7, and 8. You know, people were gung-ho for step 9. Yeah, let me go out and tell everybody I'm sorry for all the stuff I've done. But that's no good unless there's been the 6, 7, and 8, some change, some spiritual change in you.
Otherwise, isn't it true if we're not doing 6, 7, and 8, we're just airing our dirty linen?
Exactly. And trying to make ourselves feel better, but telling other people we're sorry once again. Yeah. For all the things we've done to them, which we've told them that before. And, you know, oftentimes these form of amends have the effect of a hot air balloon going up.
You know, let me put it this way, Paige. When I was going through school, I had a professor who was a professor of Old Testament, very humble man, very brilliant man. And he posed a question to us. If you could have 1 year of preparation towards ministry and 7 years of ministry, or 7 years of prep time for 1 year of ministry, which would you take? And the answer, according to the professor, and now after 37 years, I heartily concur, take the 7 years of prep for the 1 year of actual ministry. We need to do our work, don't we, before we're ready to go public?
Exactly. I would concur with your professor, although I must admit, when I first came around, I was gung-ho and I wanted to go out and save the world. I had found it. And I was going to, yes, I have my Crusaders across, you know, flag in hand, Bible in the other hand, and I was going to save the world.
Well, there's nothing more dangerous than a second-year psychology student or a first-year theology student, right?
Yep.
And newborn babes in Christ, praise God, they're newborn, but they forget quickly that they're still newly born.
Right. They think they got it. And I thought I had it. And it took years for me to learn that this is a long-haul process. And the main process is not me trying to change the world. The hard work is me trying to change me.
Paige, I think as I consider the work that I've done, which commenced when I was 14 and a half years of age, I would argue, I think cogently, that it wasn't until I was 57 years of age that I finally, not arrived, but commenced with what arriving means. I'm at the very beginning stages of my commencement. You know, like you just get out of college, you go through your commencement exercise. You're just getting started all over again, yep. Right? But whatever that math is, 57 minus 14, it's like it took me 43 years. I'm surprised that the Spirit of God allowed me to preach during that time, but he did. His mercy and grace, you know? I mean, as a work in progress, we're still working, and we're still endeavoring to bear forth fruit.
Yep. I'm surprised he allowed me to sponsor people, but he did. You know? And my total ignorance of exactly how the process worked. Because, you know, I was hop, skipping, and jumping over six, seven, and eight myself, you know, taking the quick road. And it's a shame the initial big book, you got to remember that the guy who wrote the initial big book was 4 years sober when he wrote the initial big book. Now, when he came back and he wrote the step book, he was more like, he wrote the step book in the 50s, which is like 20 years later. It's more introspective. So I think when you get the steps 6, 7, and 8, you know, read the big book and then open up the step book and see the commentary of the first 100, how they actually executed those steps. Mm-hmm. Because remember, they made, and early on, they made a lot of mistakes, and they admit that they made a lot of mistakes, just like you and I did, at least just the way I did. So the main thing here is that what we're doing is, it, first thing is I always call step 8 the easiest step of the 12 steps. If you follow the formula, it's like a recipe. If you follow the recipe as specified, and you did a fearless moral inventory of yourself, you took it to God, to yourself, and to another person, and you exposed it. And then you sat down with it and identified your character defects and asked God to remove them. And became willing to have God remove them. When you get to step 8, the whole list comes out of your fourth step. The list of people you have harmed comes out of your fourth step. And the harms that you did comes out of your fourth step. And all your character defects come also out of your fourth step over on the far right-hand side, where it was the feelings and what was my part. When you get to my part, that was your character defect. All three of those lists come right out of your fourth step. So they're very easy to do if you just follow the program and don't agonize over it. Take the list of people, go down, look at what happened, what was your part. Look at your part. Did you harm this person? Write their name on the list. Something like that. Hope you still have your fourth step. Hope you didn't take it out to the ocean and burn it, because that's not how the process is done. If that's what your sponsor told you to do, you need a new sponsor, because that's not how the process is done. The process is done. Each step builds on the other step. We're building a temple here, and each floor builds on the next one, so we get to the spry at the very top of the temple. But when every floor is important, because it supports the next floor.
Well, the steps, if you will, in and of themselves, are like mechanics. Now, obviously, your heart and mind are invested, so it's more than simply a mechanical engine. We're living organisms, but the steps are mechanical. It's a process that we're called upon to follow. You know, when I have guests on this broadcast, you're a seasoned veteran with us now. We've been doing this together for 3 or 4 years. But often when I have a new guest and I can sense or discern that they're a touch nervous, they always love having done it when it's all over. But sometimes a guest will be a touch nervous up front. And I say to them, what I want you to do is be mindful of the fact that as your host, I'm an old movie buff, and I love the old musicals from the 30s, 40s, and 50s. So I'm going to be Fred Astaire, and you're going to be Ginger Rogers. Follow my lead. It can be simply mechanical, or if we're both investing our hearts and minds, we're going to have a fruitful opportunity. So you're taking this mechanical process, investing who you are into it, and my goodness, the fruit that can come forth. Am I right?
Yep. Oh, the fruit is wonderful. You know, you will be amazed before you're halfway through. I wish I had thought of that, but I'm stealing it.
Brother, you can use what I just shared with one stipulation. You give me full attribution, all right? Let people know you're a sponsor with guidance from Brad Lacey, the radio talk host. But brother, we have to take a break. We're going to pick up with more of step 8 on the other side of the commercial divide. This is Brad Lacey and Brother Paige Tyler of the 12-Step Ministry for Christians. It is our privilege to return in just a moment. Brad Lacey and Brother Paige Tyler of the 12-Step Ministry for Christians returning for a second round of the great message on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Brother, as I look at the scriptural foundation to this step number 8, the step again is made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. The scriptural basis is taken from Luke, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 6, verse 31. Do to others as you would have them do to you. And so your very approach to step 8, and then, of course, step 9, moving forward with its application, has to be in the right spirit or the right frame of mind. I mean, you're not looking to just clean yourself up in front of the public. You're looking to make something genuinely right as best you can.
What you're trying to do is write your relationships with the world around you so that you can go forward and be a useful tool to God as he pushes his will into the world that you now live in. The world that you live in is about to change. The amazing thing that I am still, amazed at is how much God changed everything around me. When God changed me, everything around me changed with me.
Yeah.
Not because of me, but because of God and God's will in my life, things around me change. People around me change. And the way people reacted and dealt with me changed. Because I started doing these things that this program puts out. At the time, I wasn't, I was a Christian in name only for the most part. But I was doing these things because I was told that this is what was going to help me. And at the time, these changes were coming, and I didn't even realize them. I didn't even understand how much God was changing in my life till years later. I look back at it and say, "Oh my goodness, it's like a million years ago. That previous life was like a million years ago. Like it was a different life, like a dream or something that I had never really lived in. Because this life now, just a few years later, is so much different than the one that I walked into this in."
Well, I think even irrespective, this is not to minimize, but to make a point, irrespective of the work you do, it is also true that wherever the presence of Christ is, and he's always present in and through the lives of his people, where Christ is, there is always going to be overflow. There's going to be an overflow of blessing. So if you've been touched by the presence of Christ in your life, others are going to be touched de facto by the presence of Christ in you and now through you. If you're doing the work faithfully and humbly, surrendering yourself to the Father's will, and you're doing your work, the benefits that will be accrued by those around you, there's no limit, I should think.
Yeah, and it's just amazing. I wasn't praying for that. I wasn't asking for that. You know, I was just asking to never have to go down this road again. You know, Lord, if you get me out of this, I'll never do that again.
Yeah, right. And I'll sell you a bridge to Brooklyn, right? Hey, you know, you were with us yesterday for a luncheon at First Baptist Church. We had some 40 to 50 servants of Christ's kingdom from various sectors of the city of Philadelphia, from the suburbs. We had black and white. We had Catholic and Protestant. It was a beautiful gathering, a lovely meal. You would not perhaps be upfront aware. There were three men involved in the program. When I see you, we'll talk further. There were three men involved, and through no orchestration, they were all physically sitting around one another. I did not know this. They were all participants. Brage, I did not know this. All three of these guys, one is now a pastor, one is invested in lay ministry, and the third is a street musician for the gospel. All three of these guys were not simply in prison at one time in their lives. They were in prison at the same time in the same jail. They knew each other in jail. I didn't know this until after the program.
Wow.
And I mention this because all three of these men, one guy's a bit on the intellectual side, a second guy, he just rocks for Jesus on the street. A third guy is probably a very street smart, a very sweet, humble guy. The fruit that is coming forth from their lives, because while they were in prison, Christ got a hold of them. And while they were in prison, having been gotten a hold of by Christ, they surrendered and did their work.
Yep.
And the fruit is unbelievable.
And this is, and here it is. We've come around the corner now. We've made it through step 6 and 7. We're on the other side. We're heading toward the glory step. So now we need to do the final work that cleans up our house. We're cleaning out the filth that was left from the previous life. All the trash, all the dirt, all the dust, and all the particles, we're getting rid of them. The reason why is because Christ, our Lord and Savior, and His Holy Father are coming to our house to sup with us, to share with us, to walk with us, and to talk with us. And I guarantee you, if I told you the President of the United States was coming to your house next week, you'd have that sucker clean. Now, God has promised to come to your holy heart. About time to clean it up.
Of course, I'm just joking now. I guess it would depend upon your political affiliation, right?
I'm
joking because you would have heard me say yesterday at the luncheon that one very clear-cut expression of our unity in Christ was that our room yesterday was complete or replete with both MAGA and Never Trumpers. But our unity is not in our political persuasions. It's in the presence and in our devotion to Jesus Christ, you know? So I'm just finding humor, of course. But you know, when you speak of inviting the president, well, now we're inviting Christ. I recently have been preaching through the high priestly prayer from John, the 14th through the 17th chapters. And it talks about abiding in Christ, and He will abide in us. And one of my sermonic or homiletical extrapolations is from this scriptural foundation. Let me repeat it. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And I offered a modification of that. It came to me, I believe, direct from the Spirit of God. And I think you'll appreciate this, and you can use it, Paige, and you don't even have to give me attribution. Just bring glory to God. Do unto Jesus as you would have Jesus do unto you.
Amen.
And that's where it starts, because ultimately everything we do as Christians, including making amends, we do unto God.
Yep. Yep, everything we do. And everything we do to someone else, we do unto God. When we invite someone in to our home, we're inviting God in. When we turn our nose up at the beggar, at the convenience market, we turn our nose up to God.
Yes, and the sooner we understand that, the more effectively we can rectify the problem and allow that wonderful overflow to overflow. Praise God. Brad Lacy, Brother Paige Tyler, we return for another round of The Great Message in just a moment. Brad Lacy, Brother Paige Tyler of the 12-Step Ministry for Christians, returning for another round of the great message on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. We're looking at Step 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed, but became willing to make amends to them all. Brother, you've been speaking often throughout the earlier segments of the broadcast. You've been grouping together steps 6, 7, and 8. For the sake of the audience, would you refresh us as to step 6 and step 7?
Well, okay. Step 6 is made a list Step 6 is became willing to have God remove all these defects of character. Step 7. Humbly ask God to remove our shortcomings. And step 8, made a list of all people we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all.
Now, you had already spoken to that effect, but I wanted to just codify them afresh in this next round. So thank you for doing that. Now, Paige, what is, by your estimate, as we get now to step 8, what's the greatest challenge to properly affect it?
There's two great challenges in step 8 as we move into step 9. The number one challenge is removing yourself from the picture. We're only looking at our part. We're going down that list. We're saying what was our part in it, and we're only talking about what we did. We never, ever stop and start thinking about what they did to us. There may be somebody on that list who did more harm to you than you ever did to them. But in this process, that doesn't count. And a lot of people get stuck there. They get stuck there. They go, whatever he is, he did, I don't think I ever need to make amends to that person. You know, I threw acid in their face and they deserved it. You know, I'm exaggerating, of course, but, you know, that's
exaggeration for the sake of effect, right, to make a point. It's called hyperbole. It's used in literature all the way through history.
So, but what we need to do is we say, okay, what's my part in it? My reaction, throwing acid into someone's face, no matter what they did to me, is wrong. And I need to make amends for doing that, no matter how egregious that person was to me.
Go ahead.
And the second thing is the fear of rejection, that they will never forgive me, or what if they decide to punch me in the mouth, you know, for throwing acid in their face, you know? And we just got to throw that aside, turn it over to God, and do what we know is right.
Well, I have found one of the precepts in the letters of Peter, the great apostle, and Paul, I think, spoke as well, but I'm thinking of a particular text in 1 Peter. Be clear-minded so that you can pray. I would argue also, be clear-minded so that you can effectively work this step. Clarity is so significant. You have to contain yourself to what you've done. You know, I remember, and you were with me through many of these battles, if you will, when we had dissension within our ranks. Of course, you always have to identify what's what. But I learned early on, and it took me time to implement it. I learned early on, no matter just what you're saying, no matter what anyone else did, I had to make an assessment, in the very least, of how I responded. And I found over the course of time that as I did that, with each successive time of dissension or dispute, I was able to more effectively address it. Not perfectly, but with each trial, I had to assess my role. Maybe I wasn't the problem, but did I contribute to the problem? You know, in my responses. And the Lord gave me clarity over time to address that. And I praise God. But when you speak also of fear, you know, I guess I remember my father, Paige, my wonderful father, in the early 1980s, it was clear that he wasn't well. My father decided you can either be afraid of what's besetting you, What are you more afraid of, knowing what's besetting you or not knowing? You know, my father decided not to know. And it 8 years later, it cost him his life. Sadly, praise God, during that time, he came to know the love of Jesus. I'm of the volition opinion, I want to know so that I can straighten it out. What am I most afraid of? The punch in the nose? Or not getting myself in proper order? I'd rather risk the punch in the nose myself.
Personally, I would too. I would rather risk the punch in the nose, say, okay, I deserve that, and are we straight now?
Yeah, there you go. Right. There you go.
Yeah.
Because men, men and women are different, but I can speak for men. Sometimes that punch in the face gets the job done, right? I mean, I'm not being literal, but we have a way of getting past it when the air gets cleared.
Yeah.
You know?
And what it does is means I'm straight now. I have cleaned it out. My baggage is cleaned out. I'm prepared for the Lord's entry into my temple. What condition of that other person's temple is no business of mine. My business is I'm on a hard enough job getting my temple cleaned up enough in time for the Lord's arrival. So I got to stay concentrated on this temple, getting it clean, and then later on we have steps keeping it clean.
It's interesting. I just finished reading a memoir by a Catholic priest who had been, he became a chaplain during the Second World War, a German. He was assigned to the SS. He was literally a chaplain to the SS.
Wow.
He was never a member of the SS in his heart. He was always first and foremost a servant of Christ. But there were times when in prison, when he would be going up against fellow SS prisoners while he was endeavoring to create a Christian environment within the camp. And it could be brutal, but one thing that he came to understand was whatever these other SS soldiers were doing, he says, I had to just concentrate on being a servant of Christ and creating an environment whereby I could provide mass for anyone else within the prison. And over time, Paige, more and more men would begin to come to chapel and come to Christ and become ardent participants in the life of their Catholic fellowship. So much so that there were some guys who could have had their freedom earlier and chose not to because they were so committed to the work of Christ in the camp. But Father Goldman had to be mindful of what Christ wanted of him. He had to be more mindful of that than how heinous everybody else was. And the effects were not just salutary, they were downright heavenly. Yep. You've seen this play out, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. Now, you take your mind off and focus on yourself and the effect, the ripple effect throughout all that is around you has an amazing, you are amazed before you're halfway through. You start seeing not only yourself change, but you start seeing people changing around you and the way people react to you change. And your life, the things that are being produced by your life changes. And your reason, your satisfaction, desires actually change. And this is all coming from the Spirit of Christ. It's not coming, I didn't even pray for these things. This is coming from me just praying for Christ to come on into my life. I'm tired of living the way that I am living. I need something different. I'll go whichever way you want me to go, Lord. And that was all I needed to say, and the Lord did all the rest.
Let me quote an amateur theologian who posted this on Facebook last evening. It is joy and peace to find oneself at the center of God's will for one's life. God's love proves suffusive, and fruitfulness becomes the natural order of the day. If you are doing these steps, and in particular now step 8, to the glory of God, you know this is his will for your life. It's you and God, mano a mano, if you will. Then the fruitfulness, to quote this amateur theologian one more time, becomes the natural order of the day.
Right.
I love that statement. I'm the amateur theologian. It was something God just kind of conceptualized in my head last night, and I wanted to share it. And I think it's a helpful contribution to a discussion through these steps.
That is so perfect, because what happens is that as we get to step 12, we come to the fruitful stage of the program. But believe me, you start bearing fruit long before you get to step 12.
Yes. Well, I have a thought concerning that, but we'll bring it out in the next and final segment. Brad Lacy, Brother Paige Tyler, we return with the great message in just a moment. Brad Lacy and Brother Paige Tyler of the 12-Step Ministry for Christians returning for one final round of the great message on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT. Brother, and speaking of fruitfulness, I'd like to suggest, I guess it's a schematic of sorts. When we think of fruitfulness, I think initially or instinctively of the visceral overflow. So that will be expressed through the good deeds, AKA reaching out to make amends, for instance. And so in classic evangelical parlance, we speak of good deeds. But before you get to good deeds, I think there's a preliminary, prefatory mode of fruitfulness from which the deeds come forth naturally. And that would be the fruit of character, your new character in Christ. I mean, Paul tells us, the great apostle, in Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit, and he offers this in contradistinction to the flesh. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against these things, there is no law. We might even argue there is no extra step. I mean, right. This is, you know, the steps bring forth the fruit of new character. And that new character will bring forth the fruit of deeds. I think this is a fair assessment, would you not?
Oh, yes. That's exactly what happened. First, the first fruit is in us. We bear the first fruit from within ourselves. And people around us recognize it, and they start reacting to us differently because they see these fruits in our character. That's what the step 8 main thing is about. Step 8 and 9 is, if I have fear because I've done this to this person, and every time I see them, I'm afraid they're going to punch me in the mouth, I remove that fear by doing the amends. And it's no longer there anymore. Now I can openly go to that person and befriend them. If I have anger toward or resentment toward somebody because they have done something to me, and I've carried this resentment for all these years, I go in my step 8, and I actually make amends for carrying the resentment and treating them differently than I treat other people, which removes the resentment from my character. And now that person can treat me differently because I'm treating them differently. It just goes on.
Well, we spoke of what are you most afraid of, and let's go right to the heart of the matter. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Ah. The fear of the punch in the face is not the beginning of wisdom. You know, and, you know, let's be honest, the older we get, we have less and less reason for vanity anyhow, right?
I mean, exactly.
I don't care if you're Cary Grant. Loretta Young, the great actress, I know you had a crush on her when you were little. She made this, and she was a striking beauty. She made the comment, your looks will carry you for 15 minutes and then you're on your own.
Right.
So that punch in the face might just awaken you to reality and set you free from unhealthy fears that will not stand you in good stead. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and as the gospel writer John, who would articulate in his letters, the end result of that wisdom is love. We enter by way of a healthy respect, but we enter into fulfillment with a healthy dose, the fullness thereof of God's love for us. Which we
always overflow, which is always providing for us. And look at this. If the Bible's too complicated for you and it's written in in strange languages that you don't understand, I'll give you a much easier outline to follow. That's in modern English. It's simple. We're going to take the Ten Commandments, we're going to water them down in 12 steps, and you just go live basically what the Bible's telling you to do. There's a lot of explanation in the Bible how to live it out, why you should live it out, and what happens when you don't live it out. But the just a simple here's how to do it comes out of the 12 steps, and the 12 steps comes out of the Bible.
You know, it's interesting. Many, many years ago, I was with a lovely friend, and we had a dispute. And we sat together and talked it out. And she said to me, "Bradley, I feel that much more at ease and that much closer to you. I'm not speaking in a sexual way. That wasn't the nature of the rapport. But I feel closer to you that we could speak about these things. And I was free to share with you what was troubling me and that you listened to me." I remember that. There was a great lesson there. There was a freedom ensued betwixt us, a greater level of comfort and mutual understanding. And since my lovely wife has passed away, that friendship has arisen afresh out of nowhere by God's grace. And I'm convinced that the fruit of the lovely rapport we have today is predicated, not exhaustively, but certainly in healthy measure, by that discussion we had 32 years ago. You know, how the fruit overflows, how it is sustained, and how it carries, almost like a babbling brook running down a mountain, taking various highways and byways and nooks and corners and different trajectories, and yet it continues to water and replenish the earth. That one act of surrender and of faithfulness with step eight, the ramifications are legion.
Are legion. And they just go on and on. And you continue to grow. And you grow into the next scary step, which is step nine. We talk about next month. But once we've done that, here's the deal. Why would we do any of this? Because after step nine, your house is clean. You're ready for the Lord. You're ready for the entry of the Lord. You feel confident that you could have the Lord come to your house and sup with you, because you have done a thorough job of cleaning your side of the street.
And we know that he does want to sup with us. We know this from his very lips. You know, a negative example on my part, my beautiful wife had to deal with this one. Whenever we'd had an argument, the marital dynamic, you know, it's you got to work it through. I had a wonderful wife. But when we had an argument, I would want to make amends right away. "I'm sorry." And you know what my wife would say to me? "You're still angry. Come back when you're not angry anymore." And she was right. You know, I was doing it for my benefit, not for hers.
Right.
Now, ultimately, I would come back after tempers, you know, subsided. And at that point, my God was so good to me. My wife always forgave me, put it behind her, and never remembered it. But I would try to make amends when I wasn't ready to do so, which is the danger of step eight.
Yep.
You got to wait till step nine.
you don't want to go to someone making amends saying, "I'm sorry."
Well, that's exactly what I did, brother. And I, with, you know, God bless my beautiful wife. She put up with it. Brother, 10, 15 seconds. Final word to our audience concerning step eight.
Don't put your fear behind you. The list is easy. Take it off your fourth step. Lay it out before the Lord and pray on your knees. Use genealogy before going into step nine. Don't rush into step nine. Pray your way into step nine. It was the Lord Jesus who does this, not you.
Praise God. On that note, Brad Lacy, Brother Paige Tyler, we wish you God's blessing in every way. Thanks for listening.